Isaiah 40, verse 10 through 18. I want to preach a message this morning simply entitled, My God is Bigger Than, and I'll let you fill in the blank. My God is bigger than, what are you facing today that is a mountain? What are you facing today that looks big or looms large in front of you? I want to tell you that God is bigger than what you're facing today. We serve a big God, and we need to step up our asking. We have not because we ask not. We need to step up and begin to ask big for the things that God puts in our heart. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the water in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who, as his counselor, has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? I want you to know today that we do not serve a weak, impoverished God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is not facing a $20 trillion deficit in heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the hills that the cattle stand on. The Bible says, the silver and gold are mine, says the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. Come on, somebody. The Bible says he created the expanse of all this universe, and the earth is his footstools. We've come to tell you today that the God we serve is bigger than the problems that we face. I want you to listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 from the New Living Translation. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? The prophet continues in verses 22 through 28 of Isaiah 40. God sets above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. We serve a big God. I found the following quote by Ryan Nelson. He says, we use a lot of big words when we talk about God. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's all powerful. He's all present, and he's all knowing. If a word means all encompassing, it probably has been used to talk about God. Now, the word awesome, and we sing about this morning, our God is awesome. But that word in our day has been overused. That was an awesome football game. That was an awesome time that we had today. And we use this word, and I think it has lost some of its meaning. And sometimes we call things awesome that really weren't all that awesome. But the word awesome means extremely impressive or daunting, inspiring great admiration, apprehension, or fear. So for a lack of a better word today, I want you to know that the God we serve is awesome. He is awesome. How awesome is our God? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, his understanding is unsearchable. Job 26, 14 says, indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him but the thunder of his power. Who can understand? Psalms 147:5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. In Psalms 8, 3 and 4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moons and the stars which you have ordained, what is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Then in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many pharaohs. I've come to tell you, we serve an awesome God. He's a big God. How big is your God? We must not limit the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel in the Old Testament were guilty of limiting God. I want you to think about this. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I'm telling you, he sent plagues upon the Egyptian. He sent the death angel, and the death angel took the firstborn of each one, and God delivered them out. He brought them out. He opened up the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. They planted their feet on dry ground. And then he took those same waters and turned those waters on the enemies of Israel, and he drowned the horse and the rider in the sea, and the greatest army in the world was no more, and they could never threaten Israel in that time again, because God vindicated them in the midst of their enemies. I've come to tell you, we serve a big God. But then, after they witnessed miracle after miracle, they sent spies into the land, and they saw the giant and the walls, and the giants and the walls that were in the land became bigger than their God. In Psalm 78, 40 through 42, it says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. How big is your God? We love the Lord, but many times we limit him in the future by what we've seen him do in the past. I've come to tell you this morning that the God we serve is a big God. He's bigger than your struggle. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than the thing you're walking through today. And we need to take the limits off God. You see, his love and his grace knows no limit. He has unlimited power. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning this power in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You'll hear me quote this. It's one of my favorite verses. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In Psalms 136, 12, it says, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. In Jeremiah 10, 12 says, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens at his discretion. In Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I've come to just announce to you today in this simple message that the God we serve is bigger than the devil. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than the world situation. He's bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than anything that we can face today, because God is a big God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we serve a big God. How big is your God? He's bigger than your past, he's bigger than your present, and he's bigger than your future. Let's look at these three thoughts this morning. God is bigger than your past. I want you to know that God is bigger than your past mistakes, your past sins, and your past failure. In Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, John the Revelator identifies the enemy as the accuser of the brethren. We learn in that passage of Scripture that he accuses the brethren before God day and night. One of Satan's favorite tactics is to bring accusation against you, and the way he brings accusation against you is he brings up your past. Past mistakes, past failures, things you did in the past. Now, if you're like me, you can't remember most of them. But I want to tell you, the devil won't forget, and some people don't forget. Too many in the body of Christ are bound by things that happened to them in the past. But what does God do about these accusations? He gives us the weapons we need to overcome the accusations of the enemy. Every person in here has a past. There are good things in our past. There are happy memories and milestones. I believe that there are things that we must celebrate in our past. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 4, verses 2 through 7, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Then when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. You and I need to build some memorials and rehearse the victories of the past. We don't need to rehearse the failures of the past. We don't need to rehearse the sins of the past. But we need to rehearse the victories of the past. What is that? That is a testimony. We overcome the accusations of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You need to build some memorials, and you need to point your children and your grandchildren to those memorials and say, that memorial, that stone represents the time when we were in the wilderness, but God brought us out of the wilderness through the Jordan miraculously, and we put our feet on the land that was promised to our forefathers, our covenant land. God brought us out, and then God brought us in. We need to build some memorials today. Amen. We need to rehearse those victories. We overcome the accusations of the enemy by our testimony. Edward Rutherford writes, he said, history is the huge succession of events that created us. You can look at it, if you like, in the same way as you do a family tree, tracing back to your two parents, four grandparents, and so on. You can't begin, I suggest, to know about yourself, to understand the present, the way we live, and why, until you understand something of your roots in the past. The past gives the present its value. If you're going to know where you're going, you've got to understand where you've been. See, we're all a part of our history. How had God been shaping us? What has He been doing? What situations have we walked through? How has that affected me? I've come to tell you that God is bigger than your past. And we can't just limit God to the past. Good to build a memorial, but we can't live in the past. Thank God for what He did 30 years ago and 20 years ago and 10 years ago and 6 months ago. But the God we serve, we need to take the limits off of Him. Well, I don't know if God could do it again or not. I believe He could do it again, and He'll do it in a new way and a better way and a bigger way. Why? Because He's God. We need to celebrate our salvation. We need to tell the stories of how God brought us into His family. We need to celebrate the times we encountered us with His healing power. Maybe there are bad things in your past. Maybe there are past mistakes. Maybe there are wounds where you were hurt. Maybe there was abuse or even sin, but you must realize today and get a revelation that God is bigger than any mistake, failure, or circumstance of the past. See, the devil will use our failures and the trauma of our past to keep us in condemnation and hold us in bondage. The very purpose of him bringing up your past is to condemn you. The Holy Spirit never condemns. The Holy Spirit convicts. Conviction is designed to bring you to redemption. See, every purpose of God is redemptive. We tend to forget that. Even God's judgment is redemptive. We serve a redeeming God. If He wasn't a redeeming God, most of us would be in hell today. Come on, somebody. But God found us. Hallelujah. So God is bigger than any mistake, failure, or circumstance of the past. And the devil wants to condemn you, but I have good news. You ready for the good news? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We must turn away from any unforgiveness and bitterness. It's time to allow God to heal us of the hurts of past relationships, and allow God to heal those areas of our heart that have been filled with pain. God is bigger than the wounds of our past. God is bigger than the trauma of yesterday. We serve an awesome, mighty God. He's a big God today. Secondly, I want you to know He's bigger than our present. You say, I don't really have a problem with the past. But your problem is with the present. Perhaps you're facing an insurmountable problem today. And you need to know that God is bigger than your present circumstances. I love this passage of scripture. It's in Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You remember when He appeared to Moses in Exodus 3 and He identified Himself? See, He was referred to by the Israelites as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of our fathers. But He said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. Moses said, who am I going to tell them has sent me? He said, you tell them I am. See, He's not the great I was. He's the I am. He's not the great I will be. He's the I am. If you read through the book of John, Jesus identifies, I am the bread of life. I am the great shepherd. He identifies himself as the I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. You understand, he's the God of the present. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. See, to some, God's only a historical figure. He's the God of the past. And he is the God of the past. And I want you to know that he can heal us of the wounds and the hurts of the past, and God can redeem our past. He's not only the God of the past, but he's also the God of today. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, past, today, present, and future, tomorrow. See, we celebrate the victories of the past. We learn from the mistakes of the past. But we must seize our moment today. See, to others, God is only the God of the future. They're going to be better tomorrow. They live in tomorrow. Happiness is just around the corner tomorrow. God is going to make my circumstances better so I can be happy. You know, I'm going through a hard time right now, but it's going to be better in the future. I've come to tell you that we serve a now God. We're always looking to the future. We're always looking for tomorrow. But I've come to tell you that he's an ever-present help in the time of need. He's present right now. He's a right now God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's a now God. He is the God of yesterday, and he's bigger than my past. He is the God of today. He's bigger than my present. He is the God of tomorrow because he's a now God. But you don't have to wait for every circumstances to be right to have peace. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. You don't have to wait to hear the voice of the Lord. You can hear his voice now. Hebrews 3:7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, God is bigger than my present circumstances. He's the God of today, and he longs to become Lord of your life today. Is your God bigger than the problem you're facing today? How do I know that? What do you talk about the most? You talk about the problem? We tend to do that. Here's my problem. Let me tell you about my problem. And we talk about it. And the more we talk about it, the bigger it gets. Next thing you know, that thing's a giant in front of us. And it's clouded our view of God. But we sang it earlier, my God is greater. He's greater. He's greater than the problem we're facing. Pastor, you don't understand my circumstance. You don't know how big this problem I'm facing is. It's life-threatening. And I may not understand the depth of it. I may not be able to grasp it because perhaps I haven't walked through what you're walking through. But here's what I know. The very giver of life himself can blow on that thing and it'll dissolve. God's bigger than our problems. When we're young, we spend most of our time wishing we could be older. We spend most of our time just thinking, if I could just get to be 16, if I can just get to be 18. And when we get old, we spend most of our time wishing we were young again and wishing what we know now we had done then. Come on, somebody. If I was 16 again, if I was 21 again, if I was just, and we'll give advice. If I knew what I knew now, here's what I'd do, son. And the kids look at us the same way we looked at our parents. When we refuse to embrace our present and walk in our now, we often murmur and complain against God because we don't like the path that he has chosen for us. Now, if the steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord, there are times when we walk through adverse circumstances. Could it be that God has a purpose in those times of adverse circumstances that he is working something better in our life? Romans 8:28 says, something work together for your good. Is that what it said? Did I quote that right? What did it say? All things. Wait a minute. All things, is that really? Maybe in the Greek, that just means the things I like. No, it means everything, good and bad. The Apostle Paul prepared us. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Wait a minute. I got to give thanks when I have to sit through two red lights because the people in front of me are on the phone and not realizing that the light is turning green? Yeah, I have a different persecution than you all do. Come on, somebody. I hope that's the only problems we ever have. Come on, somebody. What happens? We murmur and complain. And the first person we tend to blame is God. God, why am I in this place? Why have you led me here, God? To murmur and complain. Now, I'm preaching to myself. I know you all don't have this problem, so let me work this out in a moment, and then we'll get back to the message. To murmur and complain is rebellion against the path that God is leading you. And oftentimes, we see the things on the path bigger than we see God. We've got to refocus today. Are you in a hard place? Are you in a place of difficulty? Number one, that does not mean that you're not doing what God has told you to do. That does not mean necessarily that you're living in disobedience. That does not mean that you're out of God's will. What that means many times is simply this. The enemy has come to attack you, and God has given you an opportunity to grow and exercise your faith, to stand on His word, to pray, and to praise your way through until the breakthrough comes. But God has promised in the midst of those adverse circumstances and those difficult times that He will never leave you nor forsake you, but He'll walk with you through those times. You may not know He's there because you're overwhelmed by the circumstances and you can't feel His presence, but I've come to tell you that He's there, whether you feel Him or you don't feel Him. Why? He's the God of the present. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. How do we walk into our now? We realize God is bigger than our present circumstances. My third and last point is simply this. God is bigger than our future. God is bigger than our future. And there are many who fear the future. They were afraid of fear of the future. What's going to happen tomorrow? Will I receive bad news? What will the future hold for my family? What will happen in our city? What's going to happen in our nation? Where is my provision going to come from? What will my health look like? Will I have health insurance? Probably not. Will I be alone? I have good news today. God is bigger than your future. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds our tomorrow. He said, I'll not put more on you than you can bear, but with every temptation, every trial, I'll make a door of escape. I've come to tell you that God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope. How can God say that? Because God's already been in your tomorrow. See, one of the ways we limit God is we limit Him to space and time. We are bound by space and time. You can work all you want to, but you can't get an eighth day in the week. There are only seven. You can try your best, but you can't get a 25th hour. There's only 24 hours in every day. But God reigns above time. See, in that scripture I read to you, He sets over the circle of the earth. He looks down and He sees the whole panorama. God sees the beginning and God sees the end. God's already been in your tomorrow. He already knows what you're going to face. He already knows what's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to catch Him off guard because God has already been in your tomorrow. He's bigger than your future. We serve a big God. He's the God of the past. He's the God of the present. He's the God of the future. Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets, wrote this in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Think about that. The Creator Himself will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you. The Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven? God wants to bless you today. See, God's not an angry, upset God up in heaven with His two pistols on His side waiting for you to mess up so He can get you. Bang! He's a redeeming God. He's a loving God. Now don't mistake that, because the Bible says we reap what we sow. He won't wink and blink and excuse sin away. We have to deal with that. Sin separates. But God's not a God of harsh, mean-spirited judgment. Well, I'm going to get that bunch down there. Look at them. No, He wants to draw us to Himself. You want a picture of what the Lord does? In the book of Matthew, I believe it's the 21st chapter, Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and looked over Jerusalem. And He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, and I'd have pulled you close, but you would not, and you missed your day of visitation. Because of that, they suffered. That's the God we serve today. I want you to know He's got your future. You don't have to worry about it. He's promised that He would take care of us. Psalms 39:7 says, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You. My hope is in You. How can we have hope? We have hope because we have a future in God. Look at your neighbor and say, God has great things for you. He has good things for you. God is bigger than my future. Bill and Gloria Gaither sing a song entitled, God is bigger than any mountain. The lyrics are as follows. God is bigger, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see, bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. One verse says, bigger than all the shadows that fall across my back. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the giants, fear and unbelief. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Mark 11:23, and I'm closing. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Faith can really move mountains. Stand with me.